God's grace, and having had our hearts and minds lifted by the hearing of the word of God and being in the presence of our Lord Jesus, we now turn to our brother David for more of that word by way of exhortation. Brother David.
Thank you. It's lovely to be with you again, brothers and sisters. Even if we are only able to meet virtually like this, we're living in very strange times, aren't we? And we're hoping that the vaccination program will enable us to escape from lockdown and get back to meeting in our own meeting rooms again, if the Lord remains away. There are lots of things to talk about in our chapter in Mark's Gospel today, brothers and sisters. Children are brought to Jesus, and when his disciples try to stop the adults bringing the children, Jesus says, "Of such is the kingdom of God." What is it about children that Jesus was referring to? Trust in their parents is certainly one of the characteristics of children that we should have for our Heavenly Father. As children depend on their parents, so we too should place our dependency on God, our Heavenly Father, and not on ourselves. Then comes the rich young ruler to Jesus. "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus explains about keeping the commandments. As we know, the Ten Commandments are made up of four things that we should do for God and six things that we should not do related to man. And it's the commandments related to man that Jesus lists here. But he only lists five of them. Verse 19 again. "You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." So, which one did he miss out? "Thou shalt not covet" is not in the list, is it? Jesus covered this one in verse 21. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." And the rich young ruler did covet his riches. Jesus talks about the difficulty that a rich man has in entering the kingdom of God. And he likens the difficulty to the difficulty a camel has in going through the eye of a needle. Was Jesus talking about a literal eye of a needle? That's very unlikely. There was a tiny gate inset into the main gate at the entrance to a city, and that tiny gate was called the eye of a needle. It was used at night so that people could enter the city when the main gates were closed. The camels had to remain outside until the morning, when the main gates were opened again, as the gate was too small for a camel to get through. The only way for the camel to get through the tiny gate was to have all its burdens removed. But the camel was still too tall to get through, so it needed to get down onto its knees so that it could struggle through the tiny gate. Jesus says, it's just like that for the rich man. who needs to rid himself of the burdens of this life, and then to go down on his knees in prayer before God, so that he can enter God's kingdom. Well, that was the rich young ruler's problem. He coveted his riches. His riches were a burden to him. What do we covet, brothers and sisters? Our homes, a new car, an important position at work, or an important position in the ecclesia, a lower golf handicap. What is it that we covet that relegates God into second place in our lives? Well, I guess we all know about ourselves, and our Lord Jesus knows about us too, just as he knew about the rich young ruler. Next, we have Peter making his request of the Lord Jesus in verse 28. Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." Matthew's gospel adds, "And what shall we have therefore?" Peter was thinking about what he and the rest of the disciples were going to gain because of what they had done. Verse 29, "So Jesus answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, everlasting life.'" Jesus needed to teach them, and he needed to teach us as well, didn't he? That life isn't all about us. Jesus explains that he is to go up to Jerusalem to be crucified, and that he would be raised back to life after 3 days. Eternal life was only possible because of what Christ was about to do. But they didn't recognize that. In fact, they didn't even understand what Jesus was talking to them about. Look at verse 35. "James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask.' And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' They said to him, 'Grant us that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your glory.'" They were still thinking about themselves, even after Jesus had told them that he was going to be killed. Having a position of importance or authority seems to be the thing that the world wants, doesn't it? But Jesus says we should be different. Verse 43, "It shall not be so among you," Jesus says, "but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Even the Lord Jesus, you will remember, took the role of a servant when he washed his disciples' feet. I want to tell you about the story of a young boy called Harry. He went to private school, and the chauffeur drove him to school and back each day. One morning, as he was driving along the country road, a car came out of the side road and collided with the Mercedes. Chauffeur took out his notebook to start taking down the particulars. And some masked men appeared from the car, which had stopped behind the Mercedes. The chauffeur was tied up at gunpoint, and Harry was taken away by the masked men. He was blindfolded, so he didn't know where they had taken him. But when the blindfold was removed, he found himself in a small room with very little furniture, and he was left there alone with just his school books for company. His mobile phone had gone, so he couldn't contact anyone. He noticed a mattress on the floor and was very frightened. He realized that he had been kidnapped and was now being held captive. His parents were beside themselves with worry. Where had they taken Harry? Would they ever see him again? Would he ever be set free? Or would they hurt him? Or even kill him? Then they got the message. If you want your son to be set free, we want £500,000 in used notes. Get the money by tomorrow, and we will contact you to tell you about the handover. The price to be paid for Harry to be set free was the ransom. And here in verse 45, we are told by Jesus that he, Jesus, is the price to be paid to set us all free from the bondage of sin and death. He, Jesus, is the ransom paid by the sacrifice of his life for us. Back in Exodus, God speaks with his people, Israel, giving them instructions for the numbering of the people, those who made up the kingdom of Israel. God said they had to pay the ransom, or otherwise there would be a plague of death. It was simply pointing forward to the kingdom, saying that in the numbering of the elect, those who had not had the ransom paid, those who have not associated themselves with the Lord Jesus, our ransom, would die. The ransom money in Exodus was a half shekel of silver, and consequently Israel associated silver with redemption. The half shekel comes up a few times in the scriptures. Sometimes it's even in disguise. Remember the Good Samaritan, how that poor man was beaten and left for dead on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and how the priest and the Levite both passed by without helping the man. And then the Samaritan comes. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke 10 and verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. Now, of course, Jesus in the parable was the Good Samaritan. In John's Gospel, the Jews even called him a Samaritan. One of the things that the parable was teaching was that the priest and the Levite, who were symbolic of the old Levitical law, the old law of Moses, could not help this man. They couldn't save him. But the Samaritan, the Lord Jesus, could save him. And he did. And he paid the price. It was 2 pence, wasn't it? 2 silver denarius. A half shekel of silver. He paid the ransom money to redeem him. Peter tells us that we were not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. He was our ransom. He was the price paid for our redemption, the price paid to set us free from sin and death. Finally, in Mark 10, we have the lovely little incident of blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus threw down his coat as he went to Jesus. Bartimaeus was a beggar. He had very few possessions. And his coat would be really special to him. It was one of his only possessions. He was blind, and yet he threw down his coat to go and meet Jesus. What faith this blind man had. He knew that Jesus would heal him. And then he would be able to see to retrieve his garment. Keeping our faith strong is important, isn't it? Jesus said to him, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Bartimaeus followed Jesus along the road. What a wonderful, faithful man. As part of our journey, following Jesus on the road to the kingdom is really important for us, isn't it? We remember our Lord now. We remember his life. We remember that perfect life, the Lamb without blemish, who sacrificed his life so that we could be saved from death. And we thank our Heavenly Father that the ransom was paid. Thank you.